Hello there, and welcome to episode 33 of the Knights of the Old Republic, 3 of the Verzian Chronicles. We last left off, we were in the Korriban Wastes, about to enter the ancient cave and follow Solomon. Let's do that right now. We enter the ancient caves. We are standing with Verbal, Kobayashi, and Shadow as we walk up to an ancient door. The door gives an ominous symbol.
This is something I didn't expect to find. Looks like a door of some kind.
Correct. Is. And it has an ominous Brotherhood of Shadow symbol on it.
Verbal,
as well.
The entity you detected. Are we close?
If the data gathered by my sensors is accurate, the precise location of this entity is within the vicinity of our present location.
Then I guess whatever it is lies beyond that door.
Rundi I Chawa Tongbola Johnny Ku.
Solomon is here now. Now within that cave. I can feel his presence. Oh no.
This door is extremely ancient, although, if I'm not mistaken, there are signs of recent activity. Someone's definitely passed through here.
And he tried to unlock the door and failed.
Locked tight. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Things were never going to be that easy.
Then they must find a way to unlock it.
If anyone has any bright ideas, now might be the best time to share them.
We need to search for a way to open this door. Solomon did it. So can we. Alright, let's open the door for you. We cannot progress beyond the door, but when we examine it, we notice that we can touch it. And it says the same things Shadows did, the Brotherhood of Shadows did on the Orion. So let's touch the door, and the door then opens. The exact wording follows. The shadow is bound by its bane, shackled by betrayer. Betrayal, it is devoid of flesh, and thus devoid of purpose. To the weak, you may heed not the shadow's call. Its teachings are of corruption, and its way leads only to death. To the strong, you may heed this shadow's call. Take solace in self and remain mindful of the betrayal and its consequences. Seek knowledge, seek enlightenment. Let's head forth. As we walk down through this cave, cavern, we come into a large opening, a large room that serves as the temple for the Hood of Shadow. On the left and the right, as we walk down this walkway, we see statues in prayer, as if they are praying to the Brotherhood of Shadow. It is a long walk, by the way. That's like the worst part about this. It's like a terribly long walk. What makes this worse is you have to walk back. I did get that far, like, in some spoilers. I found out you have to walk all the way back.
I have a bad feeling about this. Verbal, I need you to stay behind. I want some insurance in case things don't go our way.
Master, don't be irrational. If I stay here, then I cannot acquire the data I need to perform an analysis of the entity.
Fine. Let me put it to you this way. Whoever or whatever is in this structure, they will probably want to harm you. To damage your superior workmanship, so by choosing to enter the structure, you are technically choosing also to harm yourself. Wouldn't that be against your programming?
Master, your logic is correct. It would be against my programming. I will stay here then, and await further instruction.
And don't talk to any strangers while I'm gone, regardless of how many upgrades they offer you.
Okay. Gotta love Verbal. Verbal's cute. All right, let's enter the temple. I want to mention, at this point in time, that I know what's coming up. I've actually played through this section once before, and I am aware of what's coming up as we walk in this hallway. What's coming up is not pleasant. It's not as pleasant for me. It won't be pleasant for you either. However, in order for me to make it as pleasant as possible for you guys, I will be activating an invulnerability cheat in order for us to be able to clear the content quicker. Because, again, this is super frustrating content. Ahead of us, we're going to be put into a fight with Solomon. That fight is not very difficult for our character. However, after the fight with Solomon, we're then put into a flashback where we play as Revan, Malik, and Shadow. The problem is that Revan is not the full-powered Revan that you expect. He actually is using my character stat, which is not level 20. This causes a pretty major problem in that I don't know all of the abilities Revan had. I don't have Force Storm or Force Choke or any of those abilities. And thus, when we end up fighting Mandalore, which is the whole cutscene, the whole flashback is the Battle of Mandalore, the battle above Mandalore, of Malachor 5. I walk into the fight actually unable to beat Malachor, even with stim packs. All of the stim packs run, an Akani shield, and night speed. All of it. Unable to beat him. Unable to get three hits in before our character is literally killed. It takes him one hit to kill our character, to kill Revan. Which is not how it went in the comics, definitely. Not how it went in the canon, definitely. Because of this, we will be using the invulnerability cheat, bypass that boss. Then we'll be also using the invulnerability cheat to allow the next section where we play as Vocal, back there as the robot, to unlock our group out of stasis. We are trapped in a bit of a stasis field, a bit of a trap, in order to undo that bit. After that bit, we will no longer be using the cheats. However, the save will forever say cheats used due to how that works. But I wanted to point out that I will be letting you know when these things will happen because, again, this is mod content and this is not content that was balanced by people like those at BioWare or balanced across the entire game. It was just strictly balanced here. And it's not balanced in a way that allows the player to really work against it. Outside of every other fight, we can handle it without a problem. Well, without too many problems. But that particular battle is impossible. It actually is impossible for our character to win. We actually don't have enough stim packs and don't have enough heals to actually survive through the fight. I do have a couple of ideas, like spamming Force Wave to keep the Mandalore on his back. But the problem is it doesn't work. He often resists it, and due to the resistance of that, and him not, and us not having the high wisdom that is needed to force him to resist, to not resist it, it causes problems. So, especially since our current character is actually buffed quite a bit due to the items and equipment he's wearing. So, let's open the Temple of Shadow and begin the conquest. We enter the Temple of Shadow, and we come across face-to-face with the man, the myth, the probable legend. I notice we also keep getting hyper-adrenal stamina and various other things, which is weird. I'm not entirely sure why we keep obtaining that, but okay. Let's go to usable items, and we're going to go 1, 2, 3... Or, yeah, that's fine. We'll do those, and let's go fight. We're also going to do night speed. And now we're really buffed up for the Solomon fight. I don't know if we'll be able to finish the dialogue before that, though. Solomon sits on the floor in a room full of giant Sith or Brotherhood of Shadow statues. As the three of us stand in front of him. Shadow in the middle, Revan, the right, and Kiyobashi, to the left. Solomon stands up and turns around, staring at us with his white hair and his white eyes.
So at last, you have come.
Bajoni, your luck wish.
Solomon, you are alive. It is as I had feared.
You have risked much to come here, my former pupil. You have survived the trials on the residential level, you have traversed the Korriban Wastes, and you have discovered this ancient temple, this Temple of Shadow. You were always strong in both body and spirit. It is why I chose you as my Padawan learner. Even in the moment I first met you, I could recognize the potential soaring within what was then merely a child. A child I then chose to rescue from what would have been a fleeting life of insignificance on the streets of Sliheiron. It was in your potential to become my protege, to become the greatest of Jedi. Yet you became what stands before me, a shell.
Solomon, how did you survive Terrace? At the climax of our battle, I watched you fall into darkness when the walkway was destroyed. No one could have survived that. Yet you have.
They say fate often works in mysterious ways. I survived Terrace because I was meant to survive, because it was intended that I wake amongst the rubble born anew, a changed man.
We're all staring at him, intently.
As you have become a slave to a master, equally are you a master to a slave. The Arcanian, what worth do you find in him? I merely see a man, ruled by passion, yet afraid to embrace it.
Better than a crazed Jedi. Better than a murdering Jedi.
Solomon raises his hand and performs a force choke on our Arcanian friend. Kiyobashi falls to the ground, unconscious.
I once told someone that choice cannot exist without consequence. If my actions serve to condemn me as a murderer, then so be it. It was necessary.
Your fight isn't with Kiyobashi. Kiyobashi, it was with me.
I no longer risk his interference, so for now I have removed him. He was an unexpected, unpredictable factor in our reunion.
What are you planning, Solomon? What have you come to Korriban, to this ancient temple?
Matilda, it is the name I gave you that would always serve to remind you of what you once were and what you have since become. Yet now you are before me. I see that what was once the child on Sliheron is now gone. In its stead is a creature that was spawned from the tragedy of the Mandalorian Wars.
As you said, choice is always followed by consequence. When I chose to follow Revan to the wars, I also chose to accept whatever consequences would befall me.
If only you knew what I now know, would you so willingly have accepted those consequences?
Stares vacantly.
Do not act surprised. I know that Talana's death made you question a great many things surrounding your role in the Mandalorian Wars.
It is that part of you that manifested itself in the mining tunnels. It is the remnants of your forsaken identity.
He stares at him yes again. It was identity unspoiled by the horrors of war. It was an identity which no longer exists.
This identity, it had a name, didn't it? Can you remember? Do you even know? Yes, Shanamei. It is the name of the one I found on Sliheron. It is the name of the one I raised. The name of the one I trained. It is the name of the one who betrayed me, who was corrupted and then sacrificed to become a tool of war.
Stares at him yet again. Questions without answers.
And I hold these answers. You know this. It is why you have come here. Come with me, for only together can we reclaim the identity that was sacrificed. I can give you back your purpose, your life.
No, you will not manipulate me into betraying my master. Whatever you are planning, Solomon, it ends now.
Unfortunate, yet it is the response I expected.
And he draws his lightsabers. They're blue.
I hold the answers to your questions, yet as before, you react with aggression. This matters not. I am more than willing to cleanse your mind of this and all other weakness through the fires of combat.
All right, before we do anything else, I do want to do one thing. I'm going to turn the sound effect down as low as I can go because I know what's about to happen. There's a loud noise that's about to happen, and I don't want it overpowering. After this, I'll turn the sound effects back up. But like I said, it's overpowering to a degree that is next to impossible to deal with. All right, we're beginning with four strikes. And he resisted our force wave. Twice he resisted it. And he did 40 flipping damage to us there, which is, you know, fun. So we're going to do a life support pack. And guess what? All of our stems passed out to. Okay. He is actually going to kill me. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. He's going to. This is. I'm going to die. Life support pack. Hello. I guess I am. I am in pain. And party member goes down, apparently. Yeah, we are just seriously. Okay. We just lost. I actually didn't have a problem with this fight the last time I fought him, so that's a little odd, but okay. Little concerned now. I'm curious on how many of the things can we skip now? I don't think we can skip a whole lot of them, but there's definitely a statement to be made if we can. Let's see if we can skip most of the conversation and get to the fighting sooner. Probably not, but I'm going to see. That's what I did with Mandalore, as I skipped 98% of the conversation. But the problem is, we're still not strong enough to beat Mandalore. I'm clicking, 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 clicking. We're still waiting, by the way. Okay, and everything is kung fu fighting. We're doing a lot of looking around in kung fu fighting. I'm taking the piss out of this scene right now, but like, I really would like to just finish the fight, and getting to the fight faster would be better than not getting to the fight at all. And as far as I remember, there are no choices in this fight, just people talking, staring at each other, people talking and doing a lot of staring at each other. It's great. There had to be an in-universe reason for this, for how long this talking section takes. Like, either he was loading something in the background or something else, because there's a lot of awkward, like long awkward pauses in the dialogue, which is really odd. We're going to start with a force. Okay, so Force Wave literally does nothing, so we're just going to run into the Force Flurry. He is resisting everything.
You may fight using unfamiliar Sith techniques, but at its most basic of force.
Wow, I got hit for 47 damage! That took me literally from half health to zero health. Instantaneously. Okay. Very, very odd. I literally just fought him a little bit ago and had none of these issues with him. Okay. One more time. Let's go. Very confused. Like, I didn't change anything, but I'm definitely losing and I'm doing the exact same thing I did last time. I don't know if it's my wisdom is too low or something else is wrong. But something's up. And it is odd.
And...
all right. We're pressing all the buttons, trying to get to the end of the conversation. Get to the end of the conversation.
Better than an
accursed Jedi. All right. We're about to get in the fight, I promise. What a weird last 10 minutes. The talking was about 15 minutes long, and then we spent the last 5 minutes trying to figure out why we can't win. It's better than the cutscenes crashing. I mean, that is better than the cutscenes crashing. But it is very odd that he's doing so much more damage than he was ever doing prior. It's almost impressive. All right, let's start with the stasis field. And the stasis field actually freaking worked? What? All right, we're going to hit it with a speed and then pop in on a...
bet.
What the hell are you doing? I need you to do critical strikes. Go.
Yes.
All right, now we're cooking with gas. There we go.
You may fight using unfamiliar Sith techniques, but at its most basic of forms,
your combat style is still giant. No! Why am I dying? Whoa! Why am I dying? Well, I had enough time to jump into my inventory real quick. Yeah, he hit for like 40 something there with his power strike, a front flip. This time he missed with that power strike.
Stronger than I had anticipated, but not strong enough. You will fall. It is inevitable.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I didn't hear any of this dialogue last time I played. Odd.
Kipuna Nabonsha. Kavadumpa Kupaliaya Mokarpata.
The end? This is merely the beginning.
Selima Wangakunbikin.
The beginning of my revenge.
And now we have a bunch of sorcerers or Force Jedis popping up around.
You. I, too, am guilty of sacrifice. I am no longer the Jedi Master I once was. I will be born anew as a greater being, a being of power.
And now we're getting hit with Force Drain.
What did you expect to find here? Forgiveness? You allowed the Mandalorian Wars to consume you, and as I warned, it changed you forever. You are nothing to me now.
What have you done to yourself, Solomon? What have you done?
There was once power here, ancient and timeless. It was born from the betrayals of old. That power was contained within an artifact. An artifact which was stolen from its resting place, and then in consequence of your master's actions, destroyed. Yet the power contained within survived and was scattered. This place, it is more than a mere temple. It harbors a focal point for the power, a point in which its scattered remnants can be concentrated and then fused together. The process of reunification is complicated and time-consuming, yet as you can see, it has now reached a point where the power was able to once again take form and help me in my time of need. Do not perceive these beings as individuals, as any concept of identity was lost to them a millennia ago. They have no will, no ambition, and no emotion. They each serve merely as slaves to the dominant will.
The dominant will? What do you mean?
The ancient, timeless power. It was itself personified in the form of a single being. It is said he was once a leader, and that all who followed him as he wrought the ancient betrayals which condemned him shared his fate. But now, thanks to you and your master, both will be reborn.
Wait, could this be?
Akira Khan's sin and the Brotherhood of Shadow will rise again.
Wasn't Akira Khan the person we killed on the Orion? Yeah. We did. All right, so here comes the next part. The next fun part. Where am I? What happened?
You are still within the Temple of Shadow, an ancient structure from an age ago that was built to house what remained of the Brotherhood of Shadow. This is the temple's main chamber, where the focal point for the Brotherhood of Shadow's scattered power is situated.
Why can't I move my body?
I have restrained you using the Force. I assure you, Shaname, it will be for your own good.
We open up an image of Solomon. Solomon, what have you done with Revan? With Kobayashi?
Calm yourself, Shaname. They are safe. They are secure.
Kipuna.
I don't see why I should believe you.
Search your feelings, Shaname, and you will realize that I have no reason to deceive you. I speak only truth. And truth, it seems, may be the only thing left of significance in what was once a promising life. You could have become so much. Yet you became so little. You have no individuality, you have no identity, and any indication you have of free will is an illusion. Tell me, in your own words, what is your purpose?
I kill targets at the behest of my master. I'm an assassin. I am Revan's shadow.
Was it your own choice to become this tool of war? Was it your own choice to follow Revan to the Mandalorian Wars and beyond? To forsake and sacrifice everything of significance in your life, including your very identity?
During the Mandalorian Wars, Revan was an inspirational leader. Every time he spoke, his words made me feel I was born anew. I had to follow him. It seemed like fate.
But was it fate? Was it your own choice? No, you did not choose. You were chosen. It was all a manipulation which thrust you towards war, a manipulation which provoked your betrayal, and a manipulation that compelled you to sacrifice everything for a cause that wasn't even your own. And always, always behind those manipulations was Revan.
I was manipulated. But how?
Tell me. Are you familiar with force bonding? It was not a concept we had covered in great depth, as I preferred to keep my tutelage focused on the arts of combat.
Force bonding allows those touched by the force to communicate feelings and imagery between each other across great distances, although bonds of any significant strength are considered to be exceptionally rare.
Yes, that is what has been accepted within the Jedi Order as the links in which force sensitives can communicate with one another through the force. Feelings and imagery, nothing more. But what if I told you that the communication of feelings and imagery is but the beginning of what can be achieved using force bonding? What if I told you that through force bonding, an individual can inspire a mindless devotion within the mind of another? And what if I told you that all of this can be achieved passively without the subject even realizing they are being manipulated? Did you never wonder why so many Jedi chose to follow Revan into darkness? Revan used what was possible with force bonding as a means to inspire loyalty in those Jedi. A loyalty towards battle, a loyalty towards the dark side.
Are you suggesting that Revan manipulated us all?
Some of the Jedi needed to be significantly manipulated, whilst others needed just a gentle push. It did not matter to Revan. The art of manipulation had already been mastered over the course of the Mandalorian Wars.
But if we were all manipulated, then why was I the only one to sacrifice so much?
Understand that to use force bonding to manipulate others is no easy task, even for one as powerful as Revan. To master, it requires a great commitment of time, patience, and a willing subject.
Selima Wangakumbi.
You're implying that I was Revan's test subject?
The first, and arguably the greatest of Revan's manipulations. Over the course of the Mandalorian Wars, the force bond Revan created between you allowed him to determine the lengths in which this form of bonding could be used as a tool of manipulation. Whatever its limitations, whatever its strengths, whatever its weaknesses, you suffered from all. And ultimately, it was this bond that transformed you from what was once my Padawan into a being so fanatically obsessed with adhering to Revan's will that everything else, even your very identity, was seen as insignificant and thus subconsciously discarded.
Gaping hole left by the sacrifice of identity was never placed with a new one. Then I think you become something else, something that cannot exist without Revan.
The force bond that Revan created between you, it became itself so central to your life that you became completely dependent on its continued existence to retain stability. And when Revan was incapacitated and the bond was suddenly broken, the shock of its loss was a horror beyond your ability to withstand. You could not grasp the concept of existing again as an individual, and so you lost consciousness. In truth, it should have killed you.
So without the presence of the bond, I had to relearn even the basics of life. Why I felt so lost and confused upon the Orion. Why I temporarily lost my ability to feel the Force even though it still flowed within me.
You were a test subject, and those were merely some of its consequences. Revan used what had been learned from your manipulation to help shape what became the Sith Empire.
But my purpose was tied to the experimentations and force bonding. Why, after those experimentations were completed, was I not since Spartan? After the Mandalorian Wars was ended and the Sith Empire was formed, I became Revan's personal assassin, his shadow.
Betrayal is the way of the Sith. In you, Revan had found a servant who would always be loyal.
And everything I sacrificed in the course of the wars, it was never the consequences of the choice I'd made. It was merely part of his manipulations?
Yes, and it was that manipulation which, during the finality of the Mandalorian Wars, pushed you over the edge and past the point of no return.
Point of no return. The moment when I discarded my reality, my identity, and I embraced my role as Revan Tools of War.
Do you remember, Shanamei? The field of battle, the screams, the explosions, the death. Do you remember the Battle of Melkor V?
Okay, so we're now entering a flashback. We're now entering the flashback, the Battle of Melkor V. We're playing the Battle of Melkor V, the battle in which brought an end to the Mandalorian Wars. I was with Revan during the final stages of that battle, saw with my own eyes the final moments of the war. We had infiltrated the Mandalorian command ship to permanently cripple the enemy's ability to organize and maintain the fighting force which engaged our own on the ground, in the skies above Melkor V. The Mandalorian warriors, faced with final defeat, fought fanatically against us in that final battle. The war had cleansed their ranks, the weak and the inexperienced, leaving only the battle-hardened. The strength of our own forces spread too thinly to match the concentrated ferocity of the Mandalorians. The Revan knew that a physical victory on the battlefield could only be achieved through first a spiritual. With each and every Mandalorian warrior had lost the will to continue the fight, Revan would manipulate what left of the enemy, clear them to doom, which he could not escape. The mass shadow generator. The source of our enemy's morale lied in their fanatical adherence to the Mandalorian culture, a culture personified in a single man, who himself was the living embodiment of what it meant to be a Mandalorian. A man whose death would shatter the Mandalorians to their core, thrust them towards the doom Revan had prepared for them. This man was their leader, Mandalore, the ultimate. Now we play as Revan, Malik, and Shadow on the Mandalorian ship. Someone threw a lightsaber. I think that was Revan's lightsaber. Yeah, it was Revan's lightsaber. And now we're standing on the ship. Jeddo, Revan, and Malik. Side by side. General, time is not a luxury we can afford. We must continue forward and reach the place where Mandalore commands his forces. Then and only then we can destroy him. The disappearance of Mandalore's chief strategic officer, Cassus Fett, and Genghis Custer. No competent Mandalorian field marshal remains who could possibly recover from the blow. It will suffer when Mandalore falls. Not escape the doom I have prepared. We must do what must be done. I will commit myself to defeating Mandalore, even if it means sacrificing my own life in the process. Then strong emotions in you. You desire to kill the man who orchestrated the atrocities of this war. This is my battle, not a fear. Interfere when the time is upon us. Malik then says,
the dark side is strong in this place. I can feel its power.
Do not turn away from the horror which transpires around you. Embrace it, be consumed by it. You must draw strength from what transpires around you and concentrate into a power. Power that you will need for the trials ahead of you. Do this. We have received some items, just some life support packs, and literally all we have is Darth Revan's mask, which has a mind-affecting regeneration of force of 2. We also have Darth Revan's robes, which has a strength plus 4 and a regeneration of 2. And a lightsaber, which is a 2 to 16 weapon with 19 and 20 times 2 threat. That is all we carry on us right now. And then 5 life support. Oh boy. Let's get into the fight. Of course, we're going to quickly save it here. And we're going to open the blast door. Study the schematics of the Mandalorian capital ship in preparation for the moment. As fleet commander, Mandalore should be on the bridge, which itself is accessible through an elevator situated on this level. Then our destination is the elevator. Keep your lightsabers at hand and be mindful of your surroundings. We cannot afford to be recklessly waste time on a meaningless assaulter. Attack only when attacked. Okay. Move forward. Not going to attack unless attacked. Not going to attack unless attacked. Looking at our surroundings. Right? We're not looking to attack unless attacked. And we are being attacked by a couple Mandalorians. We're going to start with a stasis field on the two of them. And begin our assault. 28 damage. These guys are giving off experience, so I guess that's... But I'm only doing 12 damage a pop. This is not good. Almost feel like we're playing a version of Mandalore that is us. A version of... that was bad. 14 damage. Oh boy. Okay. Let's try to see if a critical strike will work. And then push into Master Flurry. All right. We're going to then force into Night Speed. And then push up to the next row of the fight. Night speed is helping, but we're doing 2 attacks around now. 1, 2, 3 attacks around. We really need a secondary lightsaber or a secondary piece of equipment. When most we're doing is 33, 34 damage, we are not doing a lot of damage here. Gathering remains where we can find them. Again, we're not trying to kill everyone, but if they go seek to attack us... The problem is that with us being alone, we're not going to be able to get anything out of this. I don't think that. This is about to be a very, very bad situation for me. Okay, we survived this round of fighting. We're doing a quick sweep of the area just to make sure that we didn't miss anything. We're heading up This was a crosswalk, four directions, and we're heading up towards another door. Up two landings into another door where some Mandalorian master rally masters and some scouts are all standing waiting on us to arrive. I'm then going to toss some grenades into the crowd. Alright. Why did I just, like, weirdly walk away from the force wave I was trying to do? Like, really oddly just walked right away from the force wave I was trying to do. Very strange. I guess I am doing slightly better on this run, but it's not by a whole lot. And we're reactivating force speed, which allows us 3 attacks a turn instead of our standard 2 with flurry. Mandalorian assault droid. There's multiple Mandalorian assaults here. All right, so we're going to save it for a second. Pause it. Use some good. Use some of that good life. While Revan fights by him freaking self against 4 people, while both of my compatriots fight literally against 1 person by themselves. What does that tell you? Why am I hitting so low, though? I'm hitting for like 11 damage. 11, 8, 9, 10 damage. When for Mandalore, who has like 400 health, it's like 150, 200 health, something like that. This sort of damage ain't really cutting it. I almost want to see what the blades of... I almost want to steal Malik's blade from him. I may end up doing that if I can find like a vibro sword. I will definitely steal Malik's blade from him. I just think that's a freaking hilarious way to go.
What?
I wonder if I can. Let me try that. Hold on. Malik, can I unequip? And okay. Okay.
What?
We can't unequip Malik's blade, so that actually may be an option for later whenever we have to go face that fight. I may see if we get like a vibro blade or something like that. I may give the vibro blade to Malik temporarily for that cutscene, so that we carry an extra lightsaber on. Because just for that damage, we just need that damage, that extra damage, right? So we picked up a repair kit, which I don't think is going to help us too terribly much. And there's a Mandalorian standing at the other side. Let's check these blast doors. Can we open it?
Kipuna Nabonsha.
Blast it! The Mandalorians block this door in an effort to slow down our advance. We must search for a way to unlock it. There will be an administration console nearby that should grant us complete authority over the systems still in operation on this level. Right. Let's walk towards the bridge, which there is a Mandalorian standing at an invisible console. Let's give him a bit of our love. And it is an invisible console. There's a bug that causes it to be an invisible console. We're just going to continue to do force wave until he passes away. All right. We're also going to touch the control panel, which is invisible. Because that's a bug. Let's access system commands. Open all nearby security doors. Look at us. Look at us. All right. Let's log out and move on. Then I cast speed again. All of a sudden, he runs up to the invisible console and says, all terminals on this ship should be linked to the Mandalorian communication network, or at least what remains after the central transmitter was destroyed during the invasion of Nux. Duxoon. The invasion of Duxoon. Configure the systems to relay all information and transmission from communication network to the outlining fleet. Only the outlining fleets, General? What of the fleets on the front line? Many of our forces are still engaged in battle with the Mandalorians on the ground in the skies above Malachor 5. Three is on the move. I'm going to say they've served their purpose. No longer require them.
And
we will send them nothing. They share the same fate as the Mandalorians. The communications network has been severely damaged and is barely operational. It seems only a single channel of the transmission network is still broadcasting intelligence from the amongst Mandalorian capital ships. Alright, let's see what this says. Wait, the transmission's been altered. They're about to broadcast new content. Alright, what's the content? My, it seems Mandalore himself is preparing to deliver a speech. I'm patching the signal through now.
Children of the Mandalore, this is our greatest of hours, the moment where we at last break free from the chains that have long shackled us to the defeat of the great Sith War. Hail the glorious dead. It is their sacrifice that has allowed us to move forward and meet this destiny. Each and every Mandalorian, from the Mandalore himself to the newest of recruits, is each blessed with a duty to preserve the honor of our culture through the embrace of the Mandalorian way. War is our way. We Mandalorians recognize that as we fight on the field of battle, we fight because it is in our nature to fight, to conquer through crusade. War is our way. We Mandalorians recognize that retreat, negotiation, and surrender are words of no meaning. There is either victory or there is death. War is our way. We Mandalorians recognize that on the battlefield, where our enemies see only horror, we see pleasure. Where our enemies see only torment, we see joy, and where our enemies see only slaughter, we Mandalorians see purpose. Because it is in war that one is granted purpose. It is in war that one finds definition. Here at Malachor 5, we Neo-Crusaders will find that definition. It is our destiny.
The transmission has been lost. The communications array on this ship may have been damaged, or electrical interference from Malachor 5 has damaged it. No matter. I've decrypted this transmission signal and assigned it to my personal communicator. Should the transmission be resumed, we can listen to the rest of the broadcast. Come. The path is now clear. The minute we squander here is yet another delay to the... Okay. What she said there, I want to quickly grab the rest of it. She said, the electrical interference from Malachor 5 may have hindered the range of the transmission. So now, as soon as this happens, we have two Mandalorians running into the room, one of them ignoring us completely, and the other one getting knocked down into a flurry of strikes, lightnings, and power. So, he's having a bad day. Four Mandalorians are at the will and at the whim, waiting for our assault, waiting for our attacks. At least now we're not dealing with people getting stuck inside each other, which is nice. That was pleasant, right? We did have that happen. Okay. We are doing about 20-30 damage apiece. So I'm hoping we can get like a vibro sword or anything else from these remains here so that we could really kind of set ourselves apart, get two weapons. I can't promise that we'll find it, but that is the goal. All right, before we do anything else, let's do Sonic Grenade. All right, we started running towards the room and all of a sudden got blocked by a receiver, actually. And by the receiver, I mean a force field. I, I still have to point out how absolutely, because we're a counselor, it almost feels like this content was created for Jedi Sentinels or Jedi Guardians. It wasn't focused on folks who were more the Force persuasion. It definitely wasn't focused on people who were more persuasion, right? Because it used the actual default information for the content, it puts us in a really weird situation when nothing functions properly. And that's just something. That's all I'm noticing weird. Okay, you gotta give me what you gotta give. All right, let's kill everyone in this room. We're gonna grab the Mandalorian Battlemaster, where everybody decided to attack him at the same time, because this poor guy just did not have any, like, just didn't have it, right? Didn't have it at all. He was just in a bad way. He was the one being picked, right? He got the pickings. Continuing forward. All right. Now these guys are actually properly handled. Beautiful. Now we have a fun little trick here. This one's fun. I like this one a lot. It's we pick up some grenades from a grenade bin, and there are two power conductors nearby, right? So the goal for this is to switch to give items and to drop a grenade inside the power conductor and close it, which then blows up the power conductor. And we do this to two separate power conductors, which then lower the force field. Pretty ingenious, if you ask me. I kind of love it. It's kind of something I wish we saw more of in games, more like solutions like that, like putting items in other people's containers. As we walk out in the hallway, the force field begins to fall, and the rally master behind it is about to begin opening fire at us, because, well, he don't want to die. You wouldn't either, would you? We throw a grenade at his feet and drop him 10 health. It just goes to show how much health these folks have, where 10 health literally takes nothing from him. He's in a force whirlwind now, and we begin our assault ourselves on him. 200 XP later, he is defeated, and we go on to the elevator. Now, going from here, we're going to enter a room that would normally, we're going to enter what I would call the command deck. I love this part of the adventure, because we enter the command deck, and the command deck is very similar to the command deck of the Indomitable, or the ship, the Leviathan. Very, very, actually, it is the command deck of the Leviathan. So that's fun, right? We're just quickly going through our list of items in our inventory just to clear that out. All right, so now we're on the other side of the Leviathan, and our goal currently is to make it to the bridge. Now, if you remember the path to the bridge, it's going to be very similar to that. We're going to start with a stasis to keep our enemies staged for us. Stasis is work. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry, why did you explode? Why did the droid explode? Can we talk about why the droid just freaking exploded? Hey, guys, anytime now, please. No? Not going to attack.
That hurt, I bet.
Yes. That's cool. We're just not attacking today. Note to self. The AI just, like, doesn't want to attack. Like, nah. Attacking is for people who have the attack command available. The gambit system failed. Oh, I would love to have a gambit system. That'd be dope. So I hope that the battle goes well in the next area, but we shall see. What I'll do before we go even get there is I will probably turn off. I'll probably turn the combat system down to for the time being, and I think that will probably be the best solution at the moment, at least for start. and see if that helps. And if that helps, cool, we'll be fine. If that allows us to win, to actually, you know, fight fair, or to fight and win, we can use that. If we have to use cheats, we'll also use that. But we shouldn't have to. Kaname, run away. Kaname, why'd you run away? Didn't need to come down here, girly. Awesome for using horror. Also, why aren't you using horror, buddy?
Sure.
Why aren't you using horror? Oh my goodness. My party is carrying me everywhere. Like, literally, that's what they're doing right now. They're carrying me everywhere. Instead of actually going the direction I was headed, they just started wandering about. It's great. It's really not great, but it's great. All right, can we go now? Can we go now? Are you two done? Did you get your fill? Kill enough people? I feel like a parent that I'm having to tell them this is not okay. Can't go around killing everyone. But I mean, that's kind of our jobs. Kind of a war. But you can't go around killing everyone. I'm just saying, okay? Just saying, right? That's all I'm doing. Uh-oh, more transmission. I've reacquired the signal that's being transmitted among the Mandalorian capital ships. Still fairly weak, but I believe it's sufficient enough to allow us to continue listening into the broadcast for a time. Patching the signal through now.
I am under no delusions, my children. I understand how crucial a situation we are in. The Republic has pushed us from Onderon, from Althir, from Duxon. These are worlds we captured at the cost of countless Mandalorian lives. Our sacrifices are many, our victories now few, but our resolve has never been greater. We can defeat the Republic here. We can begin to reclaim the ground that they have taken from us. But only if you continue to embrace the Mandalorian way and commit yourselves completely to war. Seek honor through battle and bring boundless glory to the Mandalorian peoples. War.
I've lost the signal again. For now, there's nothing I can do to get it back. We can do nothing but to continue to press forward. Okie day. We're just walking, currently, just literally walking towards the bridge. Remember, the goal isn't to kill everyone. The goal is to kill a lot of people. But not everyone, right? That's not the goal. Can I ask why our focus was not to, Anyways, for some reason, my character was focused on the wrong character and was, like, doing weird things, and it was odd, and I don't know what the heck was going on. 18, 32, 18, 16. 400 experience points. More experience points than there was lives. Anyways, we got picked up a Mandalorian heavy repeater, and, we're on the bridge. Now, this one, actually, this is a fun spot because this, where we're at in, when I originally played, actually kept causing crashes. And I couldn't figure out why, but I did eventually figure out why. It's because the Mandalorian scouts at the very, very back were broken. And it was just causing issues. And like hilarity, so they were broken to the point of causing the game to cease to function, and it would crash. And on the last attempt at this episode, I wish I were joking. We had like somewhere in the general range of 14 to 15 crashes during the episode, to the point where I was so angry that I quit even listening to the dialogue at all. I fought with Mandalore like 6 times before turning on the cheat codes, And because I had done less than 2% to Mandalore's health in any of the attempts, which was infuriating. I was doing 18, 20, 21, while he was doing 50, 49, 84 a hit. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting killed in one, like, one flurry from him. It's insane. So, right now I'm literally destroying battle bots, destroying robots, while the rest of my party is destroying Mandalorians. And I love it. It's awesome. Is this working? Yes, it's working. Yes, it's working. 600 experience, and he is dead. Life support packs aplenty. But no bodies. They're all gone. Adrenal acuity, or credits. Credits, or credits. And nothing else. So what I'm going to do for now is, because I know of the next area, right? I know what's going to happen in the next area. I am going to equip the second saber from Malik to myself, because I am very aware that there are no enemies in the next area. I picked up the transmission again. It seems the signal is much stronger than before. I believe our forces on the fringe of the battle have received the information I sent them using the terminal. They're relaying the signal via to my personal communication without the distortion and interruption caused by the damaged Mandalorian communication network. I'm patching the signal through now.
Warriors, you continue to fight our enemies with every ounce of strength that remains in your bodies. There is a great honor in your struggle and in your sacrifice. I commend you for your efforts, for there is no greater death than one found on the field of battle. As warriors, this is a duty you must confront, the fate you must accept. And I, Mandalore, leader of the Mandalorians, have a duty that I too must confront, a fate that I too must accept. The Jedi have infiltrated our line and boarded my ship in an effort to terminate my command. This was an unforeseen and unpredictable move, and one that marks the arrival of an equally unpredictable Jedi to this battlefield. The Jedi you know and fear as Revan has taken command of the Republic forces here. I once dismissed Revan as merely another pacifistic Jedi who did not understand the truth of war. In this arrogance, I refuse to understand the truth of my own. Revan is a charismatic leader, a renowned technician, and an expert strategist. To underestimate this Jedi was our failing. It was my failing. But it is not a failing that I will repeat this day. I will meet this foe in a single combat and fight Revan on the field of battle. I will be prepared. I will be victorious. Now, as I depart to face the fate that lay before me, I ask of you, warriors, my children, that you remain loyal to the end, to your purpose, and to your leader. In turn, I will remain loyal to you, as I always have. Revel in your time, my children. Serve the Mandalorians, and they in turn will serve you.
We walk up the staircase towards the bridge. Okay, we have.
Hachu Apanki.
So the Jedi who had followed Revan, choosing to abandon the Jedi Order and embrace war, Malachor represented more than just the defeat of the Mandalorians. Battle of Malachor was itself the personification of how we as Jedi had changed over the course of the war. Where there was once a desire to help the weak, there was only a hatred of their weakness. Where there was once feelings of camaraderie among the soldiers, It was now the only perception that they were disposable tools of warfare, where there once was a set of duty to do what was right, only now a desire for power. And at Malachor, we found that battle through power, power through battle, through struggle and through slaughter. After every new Mandalorian death, I would find myself feeding upon the horror of their demise and using it to strengthen my connection to the dark side. War had transformed us into creatures of hate. Malachor would transform us into the Sith. We stand on the bridge. Received a couple items. Those items are... not sure, but I'm pretty certain that they are just life pack. Okay, Mandalorian Rally Masters looks at us. Says, "For Mandalore!" Speak to a couple of the Mandalorians. They are just standing there. Saying, "For Mandalore! For Mandalore!" We have but one battle remaining ahead of us. Mandalore himself. And oh boy, Mandalore does have a lot to say. We do have to remember that. We are going to pick up some equipment, but we're not going to do it. Because I know that the battles first is going to take... The talking is going to take too long. And in the talking, we're not going to actually be able to keep the equipment items on. They're not going to last long enough because they only last around 60 or so seconds. So, that's fun. There we go. Alright, so now, with us saved, Mandalorian's feet, let's speak with the one, the only Mandalore. Let's cap this episode off right, y'all. Let's beat Mandalore in single combat. Or don't. Whichever way it falls, let's do it.
Magnificent, isn't it? This is warfare in its most purest of forms, a battle fought by warriors whose hatred for one another has cleansed their minds of lesser passions and focused all their energies towards a single undeniable urge, the urge to destroy each other. There is much honor to be found in such a battle, and to a Mandalorian, honor is what drives us. Honor is what feeds our existence with purpose and meaning. To a Mandalorian, honor is and always has been everything. Welcome to the Battle of Malachor V, Revan. We meet at last.
This meeting is long overdue. I expected to have killed you sooner.
Mandalorians, the Republic, both are civilizations fighting over territory, resources, and ideologies. We are creatures bound by our own desire to expand our sphere of influence beyond the sanctuary of our own borders. It is in this desire to force our truths upon the peoples of the galaxy that our war was born from. War is the ultimate test for any civilization. For in it one finds definition. Revan, you of all people know this to be truth. In this war you sought purpose, you sought definition, and through your methods, through the millions you have sacrificed in your pursuit of victory, you found that definition. You, Revan, you are a Mandalorian in all but name.
You see what is not there, Mandalore. Do what is necessary to achieve my goals. Nothing more.
Revan, you have brought great honor to yourself and to your once spineless republic. We are enemies, but at heart we are both warriors. And as a warrior, I have come to respect you for the strength you have shown through your actions on the battlefield. It is why I now extend my hand to you in friendship. At heart, you are of the Mandalore. You crave battle, and our way grants you purpose. It satisfies a hunger that not the Republic nor even the Jedi could satisfy. We embrace your desire for war and see it for what it truly is, strength. Think of the feats we could accomplish together, Revan. with I as Mandalore, leader of the Mandalorians, and you, Revan, my chief strategist, we could lead the galaxy into a new age of prosperity and triumph. A galaxy fueled by the might of the Mandalorian war machine, bringing a period of strength and expansion like no other. Revan, we can shape a new Mandalorian golden age. What say you? Will you renounce your loyalties to the Republic and to the Jedi? Will you begin anew, a greater being? Will you join me?
I have my own plans for the galaxy, Mandalore. You know.
Then you will die here, and all that you fought to defend, to reclaim, will be destroyed. There will be a Mandalorian Golden Age, Revan, an age fueled by conquest and defined through war. It will be a haven for warriors, the one place where our cravings for battle will forever be satisfied. The judgment is decided. Our battle will mark the end of one age and the beginning of another. Long have I sought to test my skills against you, Revan. Rejoice. Ours will be a glorious combat. Prepare yourself.
Okay. Do you actually want me to prepare myself or... Oh, no, you don't. All right, stasis field. He saved himself from a stasis field. Let's try a bunch of... Let's just keep knocking you on your butt. Sounds fun. Yeah, that works, I guess. That was like 40 damage. That was literally like 40 damage. And let's see if the life support packs don't even fully heal me. Come on. I need this to stun him at least one. Come on, stun him. Stun him. Night speed. Ow. Life support pack. All right, let's try it now. Come on, I get two attacks a turn. Come on. What are you doing? Oh, force depleted. Shit. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, we have a big problem. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Yeah, there is no way we can win. We're missing too often. We are going to try to heal here. Yep. Which will grant us more force. And continue on our force wave. Yeah, so I am using cheats. Using the heal. Because, as you could tell, we actually weren't going to win. And I'm not doing this again. Especially considering how long and arduous this fight is. This is one of those fights that I, like I said, legitimately aggravated me. On the all in all, when I found out that this was one of the fights we had to do, because it brought my character through here, and the character of Mandalore is a level 20, like 21, 22 style character. Like, he is actually stronger than Malak is at the end of the game. Like, yeah, he's stronger than Malak. Quite a bit stronger than Malak.
Combat, Revan. I yield before your power. You are the superior warrior.
You are no more, Mandalorian. Your feeble techniques are nothing when compared to the Force.
I may be defeated, but as long as a single Mandalorian lives, as long as a new Mandalore is chosen, we will survive.
Your complete destruction is not necessary. You served your purpose.
Do not think to hide your true nature from me, Revan. I see the truth within you. I see it within your combat, within the tactics you employ on the battlefield, and within the countless lives, both Mandalorian and of your own Republic. that will be lost this day to further your own agenda. You do not fight to save the Republic, nor to defend its people. You are like Ulic Queldroma, like Exar Kun. Within you I see the teachings of the Sith.
Of course you see. I've stripped away your illusions and brought you truth. A truth that not even you, Mandalorian, reject.
Your soldiers, your allies, the Mandalorians, they were all used. Used by you as tools and then discarded. Each battle, each victory, it was never about the joy of battle, the urge to destroy us, or achieving honor through conflict. Terrorists. Duxon, Althir, and now Malachor, in each of these massacres committed against my people, committed against your own people, always was your objective the same. You sought to bring the men and women who followed you to war under your influence, to control them, to use them, all of them, to fulfill your own agenda.
Know this, Mandalorian. Your eyes may have now been opened to the truth, but even now you will only see what I've allowed you to see. What you need to see to complete your role in this war.
Then, Revan, I ask of you, from one warrior to another, what remains for my role in this war?
The scene then shifts, as our character says, it's in. His role is the end of the war. We then see a bunch of Mandalorians standing there, including Deadhand Deadshot. In the Mandalorian Wars, Revan chose to embody our enemy's own philosophy, in turn showing them their own weakness before exploiting them. The rest of the galaxy, Malachor served as the final annihilation of the Mandalorian threat, the moment where the Jedi Knights finally claimed victory against the name of the Republic and all its peoples. But to the Jedi Knights who delivered that victory, Malachor was not the end. Malachor was merely another beginning. Solomon, you once told me that in war we can find ourselves, or redefine ourselves. In the Mandalorian Wars, we are all redefined by circumstance. Because when we fought on the battlefield of the Outer Rim against the screams, the explosions, and the death, it was circumstance which forced us to choice. Embrace war and all its horrors, or die and fail in our most basic of doozies as Jedi. The men are standing there, holding their heads, as Revan walks up behind Mandalore and ignites his two lightsabers. Scene then shifts to Mandalore's head, his face, his mask. And then the scene shifts to black. This choice was faced by all who had followed Revan. I faced it at Malachor, and what I believed to be my decision changed me forever. Yet now I see, like Mandalore, my fate had already been sealed. Hear the blades swing, then Malachor's head sitting on the ground. He had indeed served his purpose. I was once Revan's experiment, a being which over the course of the Mandalorian Wars, the limits of manipulation through the Force bonding were tested upon. Sarah then walks behind Revan. On that bridge, as Revan sealed the fate of the Mandalorians, I see now that every choice I made, including the one at Mandalore, was never a choice at all, but instead fate. A fate determined by Revan. By accepting without question these illusions as choice, I encouraged my own dependence on the Force Bond, by extension, Revan himself. And when it was only Revan that mattered, everything else became irrelevant. Even my identity. The only thing which still linked me to my past was discarded. Ghana May was no longer me. I became his shadow. No, she did. Became his shadow. Hey, did you just move? Are you alive? You are alive. That's good. No, that's great. It means there's still hope for me to escape yet. Rise and shine, Kane. Good to see you again, especially now that I've developed my own problem rather than just getting caught up in yours. Mechanic? What are you doing here? I thought you were on the Orion. I was on the Orion, but now I'm here. Okay, this isn't the time for games. What happened? As we parted ways, I decided to set course for my most favorite place in the galaxy, Nar Shaddaa. Yet unfortunately, once I had arrived at my favorite destination, it wasn't as pleased to see me as I was to see it. And so, before I could even say Giska, the Orion was swarmed by thugs of all shapes and sizes, each wanting to get a piece of my ship. It didn't take them long to knock me unconscious, then to drag me off to who knows where. Figured I was done for. What I figure wrong. So they released you. When I finally awoke, the thugs who had captured me were still there, but in fewer pieces. Then a man showed up with a lightsaber in his hands. They said his name was Darius Solomon, and he was a Jedi Master. I told him about Sarah. I told him we found her floating dead. I told her how she invaded the Formidable and killed a Jedi named T'Elanna. Most importantly, I tell him that out of all people in the galaxy, Darth Revan himself showed up out of nowhere and rescued me from the Brotherhood of Shadow. You couldn't have known his intentions. Say Jedi aren't supposed to get angry, but the Solomon guy definitely wasn't in the best of moods when he learned that Sarah had left the Orion with you. Though, can't have been that bad. As soon as he requests that I take him aboard the Orion, they expect what's left of the Brotherhood of Shadows artifact. Beyond that, I can't remember a damn thing. When I awoke, I was here. In this same strange room with talons coming out of the floor. Solomon was there too, speaking loud in what seemed to be some sort of ritual of some kind. I wasn't exactly quite all there at the time, but I did catch a reference for something he called Code of the Shadow. I think you've been through the same ritual as well, though I doubt you will remember, as you were kind of still unconscious. Solomon performed the ritual on me. I have a feeling he intends to perform this ritual on all of us, which will explain why Sarah isn't among us currently. I guess it's her turn or something.
Oh, my head. This kind of pain brings back memories. I haven't felt this bad since Figaro 6, and that's saying something. What is this? Some sort of reunion? Mechanique, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be on the Orion, doing what mechanics do and fixing things?
Kobayashi, it's a long story, so I'll skip right to the end and tell you that everyone on the Orion ends up dead.
It really is. You're joking, right? Please tell me you're joking.
Gear up, it's not all bad news. I'm now the Orion's captain.
I knew things were going to get worse once I left with Captain Drexel after the mutiny, but not this bad. His successor must have been one lousy captain.
We don't find a way out of this place, we'll soon be joining them.
Where is Sarah Dagana? Last thing I remember, she was confronting Solomon. I don't like him. He knows more about me than he has any right to.
He's with Solomon somewhere else in the temple.
Wait just a minute, Jedi. First, I want some answers. I want the truth. Sarah Dagana is a dark Jedi. That I already know, but not just an ordinary dark Jedi. There's something special about her, isn't there? And the same could be said about you. There's a secret you're hiding. You're not just another Jedi, are you? How does a Jedi become so friendly with a dark Jedi? Why are all the crew members on the Orion dead? And who is this Solomon guy? And why does he have such an interest in Sarah Dagana?
You won't like the answers, but so be prepared.
Bad news and me go way back. I'm used to dealing with it.
Alright, so then I explain to him what's going on. And while we're trapped inside these force fields.
I take it back. I'm used to dealing with bad news, but this is on a whole different level. You're Revan? The same Revan who defeated the Mandalorians? Who betrayed the Republic and created the Sith Empire? How is that possible?
Well, I was betrayed by my former apprentice. Survived, my mind was severely damaged. I remember nothing.
What of this Brotherhood of Shadow? You say there's some kind of ancient Sith cult? And they were the ones responsible for killing the crew members of the Orion?
Well, they're a grave threat. Thought I destroyed them, but it seemed they somehow survived.
And Sarah Dagana, or the person I had come to know was Sarah Dagana. Is everything you said about her true?
Was she really your personal assassin? Is she really responsible for the deaths of so many people?
Yeah. He was my shadow. Handpicked, highly trained, and personal assassin.
This Jedi, this Solomon. So he was once Sarah Dagana's Jedi Master before you turned her into a Sith. But then maybe the Solomon doesn't want to hurt Sarah Dagana after all. Maybe he just wants to bring her back to the Jedi.
Well, whatever misconceptions you have about Solomon, cast them aside. He intends to resurrect the Brotherhood of Shadow, and we must not allow that to happen.
Considering you are the former Dark Lord of the Sith, don't take it too personal if I don't completely trust you, okay? But one thing's for certain, we can't let Solomon resurrect this Brotherhood of Shadow. I won't allow what happened on the Orion to be repeated.
What is it with you, Kyobashi? You're still all talk and no action. We're stuck in these force cages. Unless you've got any bright ideas for deactivating them. Keep your mouth shut!
You're a mechanic, aren't you? Don't you have any ideas on how to deactivate a force cage from the inside or something?
Not to be blunt, not a one. But considering much of my life in the Arani was spent fixing your stupid droid.
Has a name. He's called Mechanique. You just gave me an idea.
Okay, an idea?
Herbal. He's still waiting for us outside the temple, remember? If I can get in contact with him, he might be able to make his way to this room and then deactivate the force cages for us.
Okay. How did you do that? How we do that? How does that work?
When I traveled on the Orion, the folk and places we visited weren't always friendly to outsiders. After you've spent a few nights in a prison cell next to what remains of the last guy who made your mistake, you learn a thing or two about the importance of having a backup plan if things don't go your way. Here's a little thing I like to keep hidden for a situation like this. This device will allow me to communicate with another using a special untraceable signal. And naturally, attached to Verbal's frame is a receiver for that signal. This should allow me to open a channel of communication between us. Pretty clever, huh?
I don't want to know where you were hiding that. Okay, the GE3 isn't the most enduring of models. How will Verbal make it here in one piece?
If Verbal stays out of sight, he might be able to get here without causing a commotion. His legs have been modified to grant him an increased speed of movement, so I'd say his chances are pretty favorable.
Can't say I'm really comfortable placing my fate in the hands of a Kyobashi droid.
Don't worry. I have no plans on leaving Sarah Dagana in this place by herself, and intend to do whatever I can to rescue her.
Okay, do your thing.
Verbal, come in, over. Verbal, come in. Do you respond, over. Verbal, come in. Answer me, you stupid droid!
And now it's saving and loading. And
Verbal,
now.
Come in, over. Verbal, come in. Do you respond, over?
Come on, Verbal.
Verbal, come in! Answer me, you stupid droid!
Master, you startled me again. I thought I had made it perfectly clear that you were to cease such carelessness in the future.
This isn't the time, Verbal. Listen to me. We've been captured and we've been imprisoned somewhere within the temple. We need you to rescue us.
Rescue you? But Master, I am a droid programmed to aid in communication and reconnaissance. I do not know how to rescue you.
Verbal, I don't have the time or the patience to argue with you. You need to get yourself into the temple, find us, access a control terminal, and shut down the force cages.
Master... You should know better than to place your trust in a strange computer. How can you determine that this terminal in question is the one responsible for the operation of the force cages?
Verbal, get yourself into the temple and rescue us! But be careful. I have a feeling that some crazies from the residential level will still be around somewhere. Avoid combat at all costs and sneak past anyone between yourself and my location. I'm counting on you, Verbal. Kobayashi out.
And it looks like we're finally able
Master,
to...
When will you ever learn?
Looks like we're finally able to take control of Verbal, and with that, we're taking a save. This is a really long episode, and I hope you stick with me through all of it. Thank you once again for listening to this episode of the Verzian Chronicles podcast. I mean it so much. I went through this a lot less angry than I did on the initial recording of this episode, so I hope it was an enjoyable one. Come back next time as we rescue our companions and, well, yeah, rescue our companions and see through to the final act, what I hope to be the final act of Brotherhood of Shadow. Thank you for listening. Check me out on Patreon, Ko-fi, and all the links in the video below. Bye-bye!